Thanks for downloading Inheritance Tracks. This was first broadcast in 2010, and you can hear more every week on Saturday Live, BBC Radio 4's top live Saturday morning live radio programme, from 9.
Patricia Cornwell is America's number one best-selling crime writer. The creation of Dr. K. Scarpetta nearly 20 years ago set a high benchmark for the snowballing interest in the world of forensic pathology, something that Cornwell herself calls CSI syndrome. She says now that her novels are more about the person than the pure solving of a crime. Whatever nuance of direction they take, they remain at the top of the lists. And her own life lurks in the shadows of her writing. Her mother was left mentally damaged by her father, who left when Patricia was just 5, and Cornwell says she manages her own bipolar disorder now. She is married to Dr. Stacey Gruber, a neuroscientist and psychiatrist at Harvard, and says that her decision to have a same-sex civil marriage turned her from a Republican to a Democrat. She was so angered that only a few states would recognise her partnership and commitment. Admired for her philanthropy and loved for her writing, we are very, very happy to say that these are Patricia Cornwell's Inheritance Tracks.
The track I've inherited is Roy Rogers, which was Elton John from his Yellow Brick Road album. I just remember it very vividly from my early years. That album in particular had a very profound emotional effect on me.
Sometimes you dream, sometimes it seems there's nothing there at all.
The lyrics of the song Roy Rogers, sometimes you dream, sometimes it seems there's nothing there at all. You just seem older than yesterday and you're waiting for tomorrow to call. When I was about 15 or 16, I remember having this great expectation of what is life going to be like for me, and is it going to be anything? Having a little bit of a desolate childhood with my father leaving at a young age and my mother had some problems and wasn't always there, I think I felt also a bit of an existential crisis of not real sure I existed or that I mattered to anybody. So my imagination became my safe harbor. And I remember this Elton John album because it was unlike anything I'd ever heard before. It's so imaginative and so quirky.
Comic book characters never grow old.
My older brother had the album, and I would listen to that, and I would crank that thing up and just rock the house with it. I dream and think about big things to come. And maybe that there was something beyond the small town where I lived. I didn't have a tremendous amount of guidance in the real early years. When I was in my mid-teens, Ruth Graham, who was a neighbor, Mrs. Billy Graham, she paid a lot of attention to me, and that gave me a feeling of self-worth because I wondered why this very important woman would be interested in me unless maybe there was something about me that was worthwhile. I didn't feel that loved as a child, certainly not by my father. My mother did her best with us. You know, it's really hard being a single parent in a small, very religious town, raising 3 rambunctious children all by yourself. And it's not that she didn't show love or affection. You know, she was extremely busy trying to manage all this. I don't know how she did it. I remember as a kid, I had this bizarre fantasy that if I ran really fast through someone's backyard, they couldn't see me because I believed I could be invisible. I know now that emotionally it's because I felt that I was. I remember one day I was in Ruth Graham's house, and she used to have a canary. We were sitting in the living room, and the canary was just singing and singing and singing, and I finally said, "Why does it do that?" And she says, "Well, because it's alone." She said, "If you put 2 of them together, then they're quiet." And I said, "Oh, now I know why I write." I think turning pain into song, so to speak, is, for some people, inevitable. You have to do it because you can't tolerate the absence of doing that. The track I'd like to pass on is Funeral for a Friend, which sounds morbid, but it's not. Also known as Love Lies Bleeding, again, Elton John. Remarkable piece of music. I think it's something like 11 minutes long. And the instrumental, along with the lyrics, it was almost like a symphony of rock and roll. I wonder if those changes have left a scar on you. This is somebody who feels. and has done something with his feelings that give us absolute beauty and joy and excitement and make you want to dance. But at the same time, at the core of it, is something melancholy. And I think I really related to that. When I was exposed to bodies in the morgue, it made me feel more alive, not less, and more optimistic. To understand it better made me less afraid of it. And I also absolutely don't believe it's the end of all things. I don't think that we are just these bodies that quit. Like the song Funeral for a Friend, it's sort of couched in the lap of death, but yet it carries us to new powerful emotional experiences. It's all about this texture and sort of fearful symmetry of existence where, you know, the most beautiful cathedrals have the ugliest gargoyles and the most beautiful people have the darkest secrets, and you want to know what they are because then maybe you relate to them a little better. I have a very strange relationship with Scarpetta that goes way beyond being a creator and a character. This is somebody I supposedly made up, but she certainly knew what she was doing better than I did because I made her a minor character in the first three books, and what she was really doing is tapping me on the shoulder and said, if you would just let me be in charge, I promise this will work for you. Just kind of get out of my way and just let me tell the stories. And I thought, but I'm not sure I can do this. And she said, trust me, I'll tell you what to do. And she still does. I still see the cover. Elton John in a satin jacket walking down the yellow brick road with his name as big as life and his big old funky glasses on and his big shoes. And I loved somebody to just be that uninhibited. I've had a lot of people who are very supportive and appreciate that I've been honest about coming out, which wasn't something I necessarily volunteered, but if anybody ever asked me, I'd tell them anything. I think a lot of people think, thank you for doing that because I feel better about myself, or my daughter so appreciates it because, you know, she's felt so isolated, or my son. It's awful to feel that you're different from everybody else and that it's not acceptable. Just be yourself, but don't try to make others be like you. There's plenty of room for all of us. I would tell little Patricia Cornwell, the joy will have to be in the journey because you will never be as rich and famous as you think you need to be to get rid of feeling so small. What you have to do is be like that canary and just keep singing because that's where you find your joy.
You've been listening to Inheritance Tracks from Saturday Live. There are many more to treasure and enjoy on the BBC Radio 4 website, where you can also download Desert Island Discs.